Well, what happened this morning? Without looking, see if anyone remembers anything. Yes. Bharata Maharaj became the king after whom?
After Rishabhadev.
Yes, and he had told his sons and his instructions that everyone should listen to Bharat. Yes, so he became king. And he did, yes. Yes, he considered all the demigods as limbs of the Supreme Lord, and by worshipping them, he was worshipping him. What's interesting about that?
By massaging the feet of the person, they're massaging him, not the feet.
Yeah, that was, Prabhupada said that in his purport. Very interesting. But it shows how two different persons could be doing the same thing, but in different consciousness, and it would be impossible, practically speaking, from the external, to judge the consciousness of those two persons and what their mood was and what their advancement in Krishna consciousness was, because Krishna consciousness is a matter of consciousness. So Bharat Maharaj was performing the activities of a king perfectly, but in perfect consciousness. Thank you. Anyone remember anything else? Yes. Love for Krishna. Very good. A lake of emotions. Was that the term that was used? Quite beautiful. What does that mean? But he does, but not so easily. It's not that he doesn't, but not so easily. Why?
He's apprehensive.
Why is he apprehensive?
Misuse.
And he himself, by the high stages of bhakti, he is purchased. Thank you. What else? Anyone remember something else? Thank you, Tan. The Gandaki, yes. You've been up, of course you've been there. No. Oh, because of the Maoists. Kali Yuga, you cannot go, everywhere is dangerous. No safe place, practically speaking. But this is where it is. Has anyone heard of that Puloha Ashram?
That's,
it's, yeah, so Gandaki, again, it is there. Okay, so he's renounced the world. Now, it's hard enough to renounce when you don't possess anything, practically speaking. But just imagine how difficult it is to renounce if you had an incredible amount of power, an incredible amount of possessions, influence, wealth, fame, and then just to renounce everything. Extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. And this chapter, by the way, or not this chapter, but this incident, Srila Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Sundarbha, because we're going to see how Bharat Maharaj, he meets an obstacle in his devotional service, and for some time he falls in his devotional service. So there's two reasons why one falls in devotional service. One is offense, aparad, and the other is the arrangement of Krishna. And he gives the example of those who fell due to offense, and one was Vidvid, and the other was Gajendra. And the one who fell due to the arrangement of the Lord, of course we know Jayan Vijay in the third canto, but also he gives the example of Bharat Maharaj. So other things will be said in this chapter, but also it will be said that Bharat Maharaj falls by Krishna's arrangement, So we can learn different lessons. And the result of his difficulty, the result of his obstacle, so strong that he actually becomes a deer in his next life, an animal, from going to a human being of such power to an animal, is certainly a step backwards. But he had nevertheless had full remembrance of his consciousness. And this shows also the strength of bhakti, that it does not diminish. Because even though when he becomes a deer, he's thinking, he's talking, just like a devotee. So this is not possible for an animal, in fact. So this is possible by Krishna's arrangement for a devotee. So bhakti doesn't diminish. So Krishna is teaching through this and uses dear devotee to make an arrangement so that we can learn. So let's listen carefully and learn what Krishna wants us to learn. A very important lesson. So text 1, Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued the pastimes of Bharat Maharaj. So the first stage of his life is over, or you could say the second stage. The first stage was when his father was on the planet and he was Prince Bharat. Then his father left and he became the king, and now he renounced the kingship. "My dear king," Sukadev says to Maharaj Prakrit, one day after finishing his morning duties, evacuating, urinating and bathing, Maharaj Bharata sat down on the bank of the river Gandaki for a few minutes and began chanting his mantra, beginning with Omkar. "O king," while Bharata Maharaj was sitting on the bank of that river, a doe, being very thirsty, came there to drink. While the doe was drinking with great satisfaction, a lion! For so many years I did puppet shows, so sometimes I can't control myself. While the doe was drinking with great satisfaction, but actually it was interesting that I had heard that in the last, because we made these many, many puppet shows, including this Bharat Maharaj one. Did anyone see that? Yeah, only one person. But we made those in we did them in the late 70s and early 80s. And then in 85 or 86 or maybe 87, we videoed them with ITV in Los Angeles, Jagtarini Mataji and myself. And for many generations, or not for many generations, but for many years, so many children who grew up in the movement grew up watching these puppet shows and these pastimes of Krishna. But then I heard recently that in Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, within the last months of his life, he was enjoying watching these videos of the puppet shows. So you never know what service is actually going to do for another Vaishnava. So of course that made us feel so happy that we could do service to this wonderful devotee in the last part of his life. But in any case, there is a Bharat Maharaj puppet show too. So while the doe was drinking with great satisfaction, a lion, which was very close, roared very loudly. Have any of you ever seen a lion or a tiger closely, even in a zoo? It's very, very heavy, actually. They have a shakti. They embody a particular power of Krishna's that's quite terrifying. So that lion roared very loudly, and this was frightful to every living entity, and it was heard by the doe. Doe's are there. When you think of a doe, what do you think of? Very delicate, big eyes, Even the gopis of Vrindavan are compared, they are said to be doe-eyed gopis. They have big eyes, like does. Very delicate, very easily frightened. They have no defense whatsoever. By nature, the doe was always afraid of being killed by others, and it was always looking about suspiciously. When it heard the lion's tumultuous roar, it became very agitated, and looking here and there with disturbed eyes, the doe, although it had not fully satisfied itself by drinking water, it suddenly leaped across the river. Which river? The doe was pregnant. And when it jumped out of fear, the baby deer fell from its womb into the flowing waters of the river. Being separated from its flock and distressed by its miscarriage, the black doe, having crossed the river, was very much distressed. Indeed, it fell down in a cave and died immediately. The great King Bharat, Raja Rishi Bharata in the verse. He had actually renounced being a Raja. But here he is called Raja Rishi Bharata because it appears that some of that sense of being a Kshatriya had not left him. Because by nature, a Kshatriya means one who gives protection. The Vaishyas give protection to the cows, and the Kshatriyas give protection to the citizens and the Vanashrama order. So he could not tolerate, practically speaking, to see the distress of this defenseless little baby deer who was certain to drown and die if he didn't do something. It pulled on his Kshatriya spirit. It is the nature of a Kshatriya to give protection, and it is the nature of any good human being, what to speak of a devotee, to protect another. I was listening to Prabhupada speak, and he said that for a gentle person, I can't remember the exact context, but he was saying that before a surgeon can have the courage to cut the body of someone, they have to practice on dead bodies to build up a callousness. So he said, only for any gentle human being, how could he stick someone with a knife? He said that only the worst kind of people, dacoits and horrible people possessed of low modes can do something like that. It is the nature of someone in goodness, a gentle person, to protect another and cannot tolerate to see another's distress. Indeed, Prabhupada said that a devotee generally acts in the mode of goodness. So, while sitting on the bank of the river, he saw the small deer. It was so small and helpless and delicate. He was bereft of his mother. He had no shelter, no protection. Floating down the river. And how many minutes would it have been before this baby deer died? How could he tolerate it? How could anyone tolerate it? And seeing this, he felt great compassion. Like a sincere friend, he lifted the infant deer from the waves, and knowing it to be motherless, he brought it to his ashram. Purport. The laws of nature work in subtle ways unknown to us. Maharaj Bharata was a great king, very advanced in devotional service. He had almost reached the point of loving service to the Supreme Lord. He was so exalted But even from that platform, he could fall down onto the material platform. In Bhagavad Gita, we are therefore warned, Yam hina vyatante te purusha purusha sabha sama dukha sukham diram so mitatya eva kalpate. O best amongst men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Spiritual salvation and liberation from material bondage must be worked out with great caution. Otherwise, a little discrepancy will cause one to fall down again into material existence. By studying the activities of Bharata Maharaj, Maharaj Bharata, we can learn the art of becoming completely freed from all material attachment. As it will be revealed in later verses, Bharat Maharaj had to accept the body of a deer due to being overly compassionate for this infant deer. Notice the word overly compassionate. He allowed it to become too close to the heart. Sentiment. Sentiment, what is the Sanskrit word for sentiment? So it is not that we are against sentiment, but sentimentalism, being sentimental, which means one definition of sentimental as opposed to sentiment, which devotees must have sentiment. But sentimental, on the other hand, means giving sentiment more than it's worth to an object not worthy of that much sentiment. Over endowing with sentiment is sentimental. So we are not against sentiment, but we are against being sentimental because it is dangerous spiritually. We should be compassionate by raising one from the material platform to the spiritual platform. Otherwise, at any moment, our spiritual advancement may be spoiled and we may fall down onto the material platform. Maharaj Bharat's compassion for the deer was the beginning of his fall down into the material world. He became entangled in the deer's consciousness. So gradually, this is text 8, Maharaj Bharat became very affectionate towards the deer. He began to raise it and maintain it by giving it grass. He was always careful to protect it from the attacks of tigers and other animals. After all, he was a Kshatriya and it was completely helpless. When it itched, he petted it. And in this way, he tried to keep it in a comfortable condition. He sometimes kissed it out of love. Being attached to raising the deer, Maharaj Bharata forgot the rules and regulations for the advancement of spiritual life, and he gradually forgot to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After a few days, he forgot everything about his spiritual advancement. Now, if you look at this purport over here, and if you look at the purport to 562, oh yes, the same. There's a similar point, and the similar verse is quoted, or the same verse of Yagya Dana Tapa Karma, that certain things should not be renounced by anyone, quoting Bhagavad Gita chapter 18. Even one in the sannyas order who has renounced everything should not renounce austerity and charity and tapasya like that, because, and that is what Bharat Maharaj did. Very dangerous. So Prabhupada's purport here. When a person is advanced in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, he naturally becomes very sympathetic towards all living entities suffering in the material world. Indeed, a devotee, he tends not to even hurt an ant or a mosquito. He feels bad if he causes harm even to the smallest of animals or insects. However, if one does not know of the material sufferings of fallen souls and becomes sympathetic because of bodily comforts, as in the case of Bharat Maharaj, such sympathy or compassion is the cause of one's downfall. So there is warning in that also, in general, a general warning for the Krishna consciousness movement, because there is such a tendency, because we see in the world so much suffering, and the suffering is very often on the physical platform and very often on the mental platform, but ultimately it's springing from a spiritual disease, a turning the back on Krishna. So it is very hard, it is very difficult, and it takes so long to work on the spiritual disease and to help others who are suffering on the spiritual platform. And it's so much easier when one sees someone suffering on the material platform to want to do everything to alleviate the suffering on that platform. And therefore, there will always be a tendency, because devotees will tend to be extremely good persons, there'll always be a tendency towards mundane material welfare work. And we should be careful about this, because it entangles one. And Prabhupada gave the example of Vivekananda, saying that he renounces the world as false, and then, because he has no activities on the spiritual platform, because he says that the spiritual platform is devoid of activity, what does he end up doing? Engaging in opening hospitals. Indeed, that's the activity very much of the Ramakrishna Mission. Opening up hospitals. But if the world is illusion, what, pray tell, is the benefit of opening up a hospital to remove an illusory disease? If someone is dreaming that they are sick and have a dread disease, does it make sense to enter their dream and open up a dream hospital to cure their dream disease? Or it makes more sense, obviously, to shake the person, or more gently, wake them up. But that tendency is very, very strong. So here there's a warning against it. As far as the deal was concerned, Maharaj Bharata became very sympathetic, but he forgot it was impossible for him to elevate a deer to spiritual consciousness. Because after all, a deer is but an animal. It was very dangerous for Bharat Maharaj to sacrifice all his regulative principles simply to take care of an animal. So here is his mistake. Not that he shouldn't have been compassionate or felt sympathetic, but he was ready to sacrifice everything to help an animal who really couldn't be helped on the spiritual level, practically speaking. So the principle enunciated in Bhagavad Gita should be followed. Yam hi na vyatantyate purusha purusha sabah. Whoops, I jumped to the next purport. So if we... I'm sorry, I'll go back to the last one and then we'll read that one very soon. From this we can understand how we have to be very cautious in executing our spiritual duties by observing the rules and regulations and regularly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. This must be done. So he, Bharat Maharaj, gave up the rules and regulations and his sadhana, his practices of sadhana, and the result was a disaster for him. If we neglect, Prabhupada says, doing this, we will eventually fall down. We must rise early in the morning, bathe, attend Mangalarti, worship the deities, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, study the Vedic literatures, and follow all the rules prescribed by the acharyas and the spiritual master. If we deviate from this process, we may fall down, even though we may be highly advanced, very highly advanced. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.5, Yagya dhanatapa karma na tyajam karyameva tat yagyo dhanam tapaschaiva pavanani manishinam. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up, but should be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great souls. Even if one is in the renounced order, he should never give up the regulative principles. He should worship the deity and give his time and life to the service of Krishna. He should also continue following the rules and regulations of austerity and penance. These things cannot be given up. One should not think oneself very advanced simply because one has accepted the sannyas order. The activities of Bharat Maharaj should be carefully studied for one's spiritual advancement. What to do, what not to do. Text 9. The great King Maharaj Bharata began to think, "Alas, this helpless young deer, by the force of time, an agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has now lost its relatives and friends and has taken shelter of me." Devotees speak like this sometimes. It must be Krishna's arrangement. If it wasn't Krishna's arrangement, how could it have happened? So that principle obviously must be applied with great discrimination to know what's Krishna's arrangement. And indeed, in this case, it actually was Krishna's arrangement for us to see what would happen if a person neglects the rules and regulations for something on the mundane level. But this is, it's very, very, spiritual life is very, very tricky. What's Krishna's arrangement and what's Maya's arrangement sometimes is very hard to discriminate, and therefore one should be very careful not to prescribe for oneself. One needs, if not one's spiritual master, but trusted individuals that we could ask, not just, "Oh, I think it must be Krishna's arrangement because it happened." So this deer has taken shelter of me. It does not know anyone but me, as I have become its father, mother, brother, and relatives. This deer is thinking in this way, and it has full faith in me. It does not know anyone but me. Therefore, I should not be envious and think that for the deer my own welfare will be destroyed. I should certainly raise, protect, gratify, and fondle it. When it has taken shelter with me, how can I neglect it? And with those big eyes staring at him all the time, how could he neglect it? Even though the deer is disturbing my spiritual life, he was conscious of what was happening, which Prabhupada will bring out in a purport is an aspect of his fault. Consciously, he allowed his practices to drop. I should certainly protect, gratify, even fondle it. Even though the deer is disturbing my spiritual life, I realize that a helpless person who has taken shelter cannot be neglected. That would be a great fault. Especially a kshatriya must think like this. Prabhupada's purport. When a person is advanced in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, he naturally becomes very sympathetic towards all living entities suffering in the material world. We read this. We read most of it. We'll just read the end. As far as the material body is concerned, we cannot do anything for anyone. However, by the grace of Krishna, we may raise a person to spiritual consciousness if we ourselves follow the rules and regulations. If we give up our own spiritual activities and simply become concerned with the bodily comforts of others, we will fall into a dangerous position. So a very grave warning by Prabhupada. 10. Even though one is in the renounced order, one who is advanced certainly feels compassion for suffering living entities. One should certainly neglect his own personal interests, Bharat Maharaj says, although maybe they may be very important to protect one who has surrendered. Do the needful. Don't be selfish. Save others. But if one becomes weak, neglects his own spiritual life, a fall down is guaranteed. So that would be considered extremely foolish. And I saw in a book, the book, the Watering the Seed by Giriraj Maharaj, where Prabhupada said some devotees had worked very, very hard. They became inspired, and they worked very, very hard, and for 2-3 days, and then became exhausted, and then they couldn't do anything for the next few days. And Prabhupada's comment was, 2 days working, 3 days recovering, something to the effect of not very intelligent proposal, something like that. So balance is the most difficult thing. And to take any principle, any statement, and to apply it in a frame of reference, a balanced frame of reference, takes wisdom and intelligence. So he took a statement, well, Prabhupada's giving the example here, that the statement of the selflessness of a devotee, but it's out of context. One really can't separate the giving to others and nourishing one's own self. One cannot actually practically separate it. Purport, Maya is very strong. In the name of philanthropy, altruism, communism, people are feeling compassionate for suffering humanity throughout the world. Philanthropists and altruists do not realize that it is impossible to improve people's material conditions. Material conditions are already established by the superior administration according to one's karma. They cannot be changed. The only benefit we can render to suffering beings is to try to raise them to spiritual consciousness. Material comforts cannot be increased or decreased. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Talabhyate Dukavaranyata Sukham. As far as material happiness is concerned, that comes without effort, just as tribulations come without effort. Material happiness and pain can be attained without endeavor. One should not bother for material activities. If one is at all sympathetic or able to do good to others, he should endeavor to raise people to Krishna consciousness. In this way, everyone advances spiritually by the grace of the Lord. For our instruction, Bharat Maharaj acted in such a way. So by Krishna's arrangement, Bharat Maharaj acted in this way to instruct us, and we should heed this very carefully. Be careful. We should be very careful, not only careful, but Prabhupada says very careful, not to be misled by so-called welfare activities conducted in bodily terms. A warning. One should not give up his own interest in attaining the favor of Lord Vishnu at any cost. Generally, people do not know this, or they forget it. Consequently, they sacrifice their original interest, the attainment of Vishnu's favor, and engage in philanthropic activities for bodily comfort. Continuing, due to attachment for the deer, Bharat Maharaj laid down with it. So this is how attached he actually became. He would sleep with the deer. He would walk about with it. He bathed with it and even ate with it. Thus his heart became bound to the deer in affection. Out of the two, in a relationship, there is the one in the superior position and the one in the inferior position. There is the one who is depending upon the superior, like the child depending upon the parent, and there is the one who is in the superior position, the parent, and the child is depending upon him. Superficially, one would think that the one who is depending on the other, the child depending on the parent, the deer depending on Bharat Maharaj, would be the one who is more attached because of the need. But actually it's the opposite. The one most attached is the one who is being dependent upon. Because that position is more like Krishna's position. So the one who is being dependent upon, the father, the parents, are more attached to the children than the children are to the parents. The children may forget the parents, but the parents never forget the children. So be careful. This position of being the one who is the protector is a very dangerous position in the material world because it tends to increase one's material attachment. They depend on me. They need me. How could anyone turn that away from that? So, when Bharatraj wanted to enter the forest, when Bharatraj, this is text 12, wanted to enter the forest to collect kusha grass, flowers, wood, leaves, fruits, roots, and water, he would fear that dogs, jackals, tigers, and other ferocious animals might kill the deer. He would therefore always take the deer with him when entering the forest. Purport. How Maharaj Bharat increased his affection for the deer is described herein. Even such an exalted personality as Bharat Maharaj, who had attained loving affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fell down from his position due to affection for some animal. Consequently, as will be seen, he had to accept the body of a deer in his next life. Since this was the case with Bharat Maharaj, what can we say of those who are not advanced in spiritual life, but who become attached to cats and dogs? Due to their affection for their cats and dogs, they have to take the same bodily forms in their next life, unless they clearly increase their affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we've seen this, elderly people, in the West at least, when they don't have their families taking care of them, invariably they will get some pet, a cat or a dog or some fish or a bird or that's a what? Hamster, yes. Why not? One hamster. Tigers. Not the old people though. The tigers ate them up? Oh, one person. It wasn't like everyone was doing it. Oh, okay. And then they grew up. The whole family. One meal.
Even if they have something to trust, the old folks, they don't have any children to roll their money to. They make a trust to protect the animal after they die.
Yeah, there's been cases where at least one, there was one old lady who left millions of dollars to a pet dog in her will. So, huh? Maybe, I don't know. But in any case, we don't want to get too far into this particular topic. In any case, it is dangerous because when people get old, they become so lonely and loveless. So we should develop our love for Krishna. So Prabhupada's explaining, even an exalted person like Bharat Maharaj, he had to accept the body of a deer in his next life. Due to their affection for their cats and dogs, they have to take the same bodily forms in the next life unless they clearly increase their affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless we increase our faith in the Supreme Lord, we shall be attracted to many other things. What did Prabhupada say in that sentence? Unless we increase our faith in the Supreme Lord, we will be attracted to many other things.
What means faith? Faith in what? Faith that the Lord
Faith means... Faith is the beginning of love also. But it means relationship. Trust. How can there be love unless you trust? So faith actually, adosh shraddha, it increases up to the point of prema. But faith means in the protection of the Lord and put ourselves under His protection. If we don't increase that, it is very dangerous. And this is the cause of our material bondage, our being attracted to so many other things. So He should become our complete shelter. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadhan. Everything else is Durasrai. So it's easy to preach on the point. It's easy to laugh at the foolish karmis with their pet tigers and pet dogs and pet goldfish or whatever. But when we get older, we'll see how foolish we are too. So let's not be foolish. Let's become attached to Krishna. So when entering the forest, the animal would appear very attractive to Maharaj Bharat due to its childish behavior. Maharaj Bharata, has anyone ever seen closely a pet, a small baby deer? Yeah. Aren't they cute, Maharaj? Aren't they sweet? Because everyone was so attached and attracted, probably. But they're so cute, and they act in childish ways. They come to you. They'll put their nose on you. There's so many cute things. Maharaj Bharat would even take the deer on his shoulders and carry it due to affection. His heart was so filled with great love for the deer, he would sometimes keep it on his lap or when sleeping on his chest. In this way, he felt great pleasure in fondling the animal. Purport. Maharaj Bharata left his home, wife, children, kingdom, and everything else to advance his spiritual life in the forest. But again, he fell victim to material affection due to his attachment to an insignificant pet deer. What then was the use of renouncing his family? One who is serious in advancing his spiritual life should be very cautious not to become attached to anything but Krishna. And in the spoken from the other way, one who is interested in advancing his spiritual life should become very cautious to become extremely attached to Krishna. Because unless we become attached to Krishna, we will develop attraction to so many other things. If we remember this, sometimes in order to preach, we have to accept many material activities, but we should remember that everything is for Krishna. We should remember that everything is for Krishna. We should remember why we're doing what we're doing. We should keep our consciousness fixed as ourself as a servant of Krishna and be doing what we're doing for His pleasure, placing Krishna in the center. So sometimes we try to remember that we're doing everything for Krishna, and we realize we're not actually doing everything for Krishna, we're doing everything for me. So this is a dangerous position. But if one is dealing with the material energy as a devotee, as a preacher, one must remember that everything is being done for Krishna. If we remember this, that I am Krishna's servant, Jivera Sarupoi Krishna Nityadas, there is no chance of our being victimized by material activities. But if we forget this, no matter what we're doing, there is a great chance of being victimized. So therefore, the point in the last chapter, or two chapters ago, right at the end, that we should understand our position. And this was the teachings, very much the teachings of Rishabh Dev Maharaj, that we are servants of Krishna. We have to become constituted in our consciousness in that position. There is no other safe position. And that means, practically speaking, we have to keep engaged. When one engagement in Krishna consciousness ends, another should begin. And we should chant in proper consciousness and do everything in proper consciousness. And then there's no chance of our being victimized by material activities. And note the word victimized. When Bharat Maharaj was actually worshipping the Lord or was engaged in some ritualistic ceremony, although his activities weren't finished, he would still at intervals get up and see where the deer was. In this way he would look for it, and when he could see that the deer was comfortably situated, his mind and heart would be very satisfied. And he would bestow his blessings upon the deer, saying, "My dear calf, may you be happy in all respects." So his mind was so distracted from his worship. And Prabhupada says, a mere show of worship will not be of any benefit. Worship means worship with mind. 15. If Bharat Maharaj sometimes could not see the deer, his mind would be very agitated, because separation is even more powerful than milan, meeting. It is true in the spiritual world. It is true here. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. His mind would become very agitated. He would become like a miser who, having obtained some riches, had lost them and then becomes very unhappy. When the deer was gone, he would be filled with anxiety and would lament due to separation. Thus he would become illusioned and speak as follows. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, we should transfer all our attachments to Krishna's service. Srila Rupa Goswami prayed to the Lord that he would be as naturally attracted to the Lord's service as young men and young women are naturally attracted to each other. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited such attachment to the Lord when he jumped into the ocean or cried at night in separation. So that which is perfect in the spiritual world and its reflection in the material world is the cause of bondage and suffering. If, Prabhupada says, our attachment is diverted to material things instead of to the Lord, we will fall down from the spiritual platform. And this, I hate to say it, includes your computer and my computer. Oh, it has, my computer has everything on it that I need. It has all the Shastra, it has backup hard drives, huge backup hard drives. And when it's functioning well, I'm so happy. When it's not functioning well, or it's sick and has viruses, I'm in anxiety. We should be very careful. I'm not pointing at you three, four. Oh,
how many?
Five. Six. Yeah, mine is two. No, I'm so attached. But we really, really must keep the attachment to Krishna. And what is the difference between being attached to something as useful for serving Krishna and Krishna being the center of the attachment, or to be attached to the very thing somewhat a little bit independently of Krishna? Very, very subtle, and no one else possibly can tell, but we should know ourselves where our attachment lies. And I remember there was one devotee, he was writing something that was very important for him, and he was living in Mayapur, and his hard drive crashed. This was years ago when you couldn't get him fixed, and he told me, and he said, "What should I do?" So I said, "Well, you have two choices. You could drown yourself in the Yamuna or go back to the West." Because that's what it's like sometimes. You feel like you have no purpose in your existence anymore. I know from experience, unfortunately. And of course, he went back to the West. So beware, beware. We can laugh at ourselves, we can laugh at others, but beware. We can laugh at Bharat Maharaj, such an exalted devotee, becoming attached to a deer. But be careful. Be careful. This warning is meant for us. Krishna uses his dear devotees to arrange these circumstances so that we learn. So when he went to the forest, when he couldn't find the deer, he went into incredible lamentation. Alas, the deer is now helpless. I am now very unfortunate, and my mind is like a cunning hunter, for it is always filled with cheating propensities and cruelty. He's thinking that it's his fault that the deer has left him. The deer has put faith in me, just as a good man who has a natural interest in good behavior forgets the misbehavior of a cunning friend and puts his faith in him. Although I have proved faithless, will this deer return and place its faith in me? I have not taken care of the deer well enough, and therefore he has gone away. Knowing my nature, will he come back and grace me by looking at me again with his unblinking eyes? Alas, is it possible that I shall again see this animal protected by the Lord and fearless of tigers and other animals? Shall I again see him wandering in the garden eating soft grass? This is illusion. But the mind does these kind of things. The mind goes crazy when it is attached. The mind has only two businesses and one overriding business: acceptance and rejection. And when it rejects something, it rejects it irrationally. And when it accepts something, it accepts it irrationally. And its overriding business is to keep one in the material world. So he's irrationally, his mind has become feverish thinking about this deer, going through the miseries, the agonies, the ecstasies of love over this deer. And really, it has nothing to do with the deer at all. It's just him and his mind. This is the material world. Atmavan manyate jagat. Welcome to the material world. You carry on a relationship with your mind, basically. You think you're dealing with other people, other things, but you're only dealing with your mind. And the material world will very kindly not cooperate. Kindly means it'll upset everything. I do not know, but the deer may have been eaten by a wolf or a dog or by the boars that flock together or the tiger who travels alone. Alas, when the sun rises, all auspicious things begin. Unfortunately, they have not begun for me. The sun god is the Vedas personified, but I am bereft of all Vedic principles. The sun god was his worshipable deity. The sun god is now setting, yet the poor animal who trusted in me, he's only thinking the sun god now is not his worshipable deity. Its use is to facilitate his seeing of the deer. And now, the poor animal who trusted in me since its mother died has not returned and the sun is setting. There is nothing auspicious for me because my dear is not here. That deer is exactly like a prince. Of course, it sounds funny when we read it, but if my mind has never done things like this, then if I would tell you that, I would be lying. And when it's angry, when my mind is angry at something, it will make up the nastiest kind of poetry, not this romantic stuff. That deer is exactly like a prince. When will it return? When will it again display its personal activities which are so pleasing? When will it again pacify a wounded heart like mine? I certainly must have no pious assets, otherwise the deer would have returned by now. Alas, the small deer, while playing with me and seeing me feigning meditation, faking meditation, while doing his meditations, doing his deity seva, while performing his ritual, he was simply thinking of his deer. So feigning meditation with closed eyes, he would circumambulate me due to anger arising from love, and it would fearfully touch me with the points of its soft horns, which felt like drops of water, oh, so pleasing and soothing to the heart. So Prabhupada's purports are just like counter everything here, saying that this means that it, you know, his downfall is coming. People might think this is laudable and wonderful, but actually he's falling from spiritual life. When I placed all the sacrificial ingredients on the kusha grass, the deer, when playing, would touch the grass with its teeth and thus pollute it. When I would chastise the deer by pushing it away, it would immediately become fearful and sit down motionless, exactly like the son of a saintly person. Thus it would stop its play. So how wonderful is this deer acting just like the son of a saintly person? And Prabhupada's purport, Bharat Maharaj was constantly thinking the activities of the deer, forgetting that such meditations and diversion of attention was killing his progress in spiritual achievement. Very unsentimental. Attachment, aversion, in the material world, they are the same. Better to have our mind focused upon Krishna. After speaking like a madman in this way, Maharaj Bharata got up and went outside. Seeing the footprints of the deer on the ground, he praised the footprints out of love, saying, O unfortunate Bharat, your austerities and penances are very insignificant compared to the penance and austerities undergone by this earth planet. Due to the earth's severe penances, the footprints of this deer, which are small, beautiful, and most auspicious and soft, are imprinted on the surface of this fortunate planet. This series of footprints show a person like me, who am bereaved due to loss of the deer, how the animal has passed through the forest, and how I can regain my lost wealth. By following this deer, the footprints I will find my deer. By these footprints, this land has become a proper place for Brahmins who desire heavenly planets or liberation to execute sacrifices to the demigods. So Prabhupada says in his purport that when someone is blind, a mother blinded by love will call her blind child whose eyes are not very pleasing to look at, she will call that child Padmalochan because of love. So similarly, Bharat Maharaj is thinking like this. But then there's a Shastic reference he gives saying that the footprints of the black deer make a place auspicious. Maharaj Bharata continued to speak like a madman, and seeing above his head the dark marks on the rising moon, which resembled a deer, he said, can it be that the moon, who is so kind to an unhappy man, might also be kind upon my deer, knowing that it has strayed from home and has become motherless. This moon has given the deer shelter near itself just to protect it from the fearful attacks of lions. After perceiving the moonshine, so everything he was seeing his deer in that. So extreme was his attachment. So Maharaj Bharat continued speaking like a crazy person. He said, The dear son was so submissive and dear to me that due to its separation, I am feeling separation from my own son. Due to the burning fever of this separation, I am suffering as if inflamed by a forest fire. My heart, which is like the lily of the land, is now burning. And seeing me so distressed, the moon is certainly splashing its shining nectar upon me, just as a friend throws water on another friend who has a high fever. In this way, the moon is bringing me happiness. Very poetic, but not deeply spiritual. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, Parikshit Maharaj, in this way, Bharat Maharaj was overwhelmed by an uncontrollable desire which was manifest in the form of the deer." So this is also a special warning to Parikshit Maharaj to not be attached to anything other than Krishna, because he was soon to leave this world. Not that one shouldn't do one's duty, but one should be attached to Krishna and do one's duty to others in relationship to Krishna. My dear King, in this way Bharat Maharaj was overwhelmed by an uncontrollable desire which was manifest in the form of the deer. Due to the fruit of results of his past deeds, he fell down from mystic yoga, austerity, and worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If it were not due to his past fruit of activities, how could he have been attracted to the deer after giving up the association of his own son and family, considering them stumbling blocks on the path of spiritual life? How could he show such uncontrollable affection for a deer? This was definitely due to his past karma. The king was so engrossed in petting and maintaining the deer that he fell down from his spiritual activities. In due course of time, insurmountable death, which is compared to a venomous snake that enters the hole created by a mouse, situated itself before him, because there is a hole, and inside the hole is a mouse. And the mouse is there, feeling very secure. And if a snake enters that hole, there is no place for that mouse to escape to. His death is certain. So similarly, death began to stalk Bharat Maharaj, and there was no escape. When death stalks, there is no escape. And whatever our consciousness is at that time, that is our consciousness. And no one knows when our time will come. Therefore, the warning is to be extremely careful to become attached to Krishna and to be detached from anything, everything other than Krishna. The warning is given to Parikshit Maharaj and to each and every one of us. And Krishna is very kind though, and nothing is ever lost. And we'll see with Bharat Maharaj that in his next, the life after his next life, he had learned his lesson so strongly that he wouldn't, practically speaking, interact with the material world at all. He was so cautious, fearful, however you want to put it, but determined to keep his consciousness focused on Krishna, he would not interact with his pious father, his pious mother, his brahminical birth, his brahminical duties. He just kept his internal focus on Krishna. He had learned his lesson once and for all, and he was not going backwards. So that's what happens. We either learn our lessons by listening to Shastra, accepting the conclusions and acting accordingly, or we learn our lessons in the more difficult, dangerous ways by having to experience everything. But learn it the intelligent way or the less intelligent way, we will learn it. But to save ourselves from difficulty and suffering, we should become attached to Krishna. Prabhupada, in the last line of the purport, he talks about the punishments that are awarded devotees. Such punishment is only for a short period, and it is not due to past karma. It may appear to be due to past karma, but it is offered to rectify the devotee and bring him to pure devotional service. At the time of his death, the king saw that the deer was sitting by his side, exactly like his own son, and was lamenting his death. When one night a few years ago, one devotee left this world. And after that devotee left, I was walking back to my apartment, and I saw that a puppy had also died because it was cold and in the winter. And there were one puppy, another dog after another dog, and the puppy brothers and sisters, they would come. I was walking by and I saw it, and they would smell it, and they'd see that there was the soul wasn't there, and it's their own way, they would perceive that, and they would be lamenting and be trying to nudge it a little and bring it back to life and things like that. And I just understood, well, this is what goes on in the material world continuously. You know, a human being, a dog, and it's just on and on and on and on and on, and we're thinking that this one is so special, and indeed this one was special, fortunate. But it just goes on and on and on. And there's that famous story about there was this one lady whose child had died, and she approached the Buddha, and she kept on carrying it, and she couldn't. She just was so attached to the child, she couldn't accept it as died. And the Buddha, she asked the Buddha, "Can you help me?" And she was thinking, bring the child back to life. And he said, "Yes, you go to the village and you beg some grains, some sesame grains from a family where there has been no death in the last year." So she went from door to door and door to door and door and door to door to door and door, and she came back empty-handed, and she was ready to, because this is. This is what it means to be here in this world. This is what it means to each and every one of us. It means our turn will come when our relatives will be poking us with their soft noses like the puppy dogs, or they'll be crying, or they'll be waiting to get our money. But in our cases, it won't be very much that. But this is what it means. Everyone has their time to lament and be lamented for. This is reality in the material world. Our illusions, they are doomed, because illusion, by definition, is doomed. So what to do about it? Reality will always triumph. But the reality is that we shall live forever. So what to do about this? This is the process of Krishna consciousness. As devotees, we should take this very seriously and place our attachments in the right place. And when that's done, then everything, when the center is properly established, then everything will work properly. So the deer was lamenting his death. Actually, the mind of the king was absorbed in the body of the deer, and consequently, like those bereft of Krishna consciousness, he left the world, the deer. He left the world, the deer, and his material body, acquired the body of a deer. However, there was one advantage. Although he lost his human body and received the body of a deer, he did not forget the incidents of his past life. So that was Krishna's special arrangement for him. Although in the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj, due to his rigid devotional service in his past life, could understand the causes of his birth in that body, considering his past and present life, he constantly repented his activities, speaking in the following way. So when Ajamil, in the same body, by the mercy of the Vishnu Dutas, came back to consciousness after having seen the Yamadutas and hearing the conversation between the Yamadutas and the Vishnu Dutas, he didn't immediately go to Haridwar, but he lamented his activities. So lamentation and repentance in this way, they have a very important place in Krishna consciousness. We should lament and repent our faults, and this is one process of beating the mind with broomsticks and shoes. Because lamenting means criticizing what I've done. Repenting means wishing that I had never done such a thing. And again, criticizing oneself. Being pulled by the mind to do so many things that are actually counter to our own welfare. So he lamented, as Ajamil will, we will hear about Ajamil's lamentation. So he could understand, he repented his activities, he spoke in the following way, and there are two verses left, and without reading the purports, because you've all read them, they're important. They're very important purports. Prabhupada tells us, the devotees, to be very careful in their prosecution of Krishna consciousness. All the members should be very careful to execute their spiritual duties. And that will be beneficial for the devotees as well as anyone who comes in contact. So please read those very carefully and hear the last two verses from amazingly, his bhakti was, by Krishna's grace, was so powerful that it was not, deers cannot speak. But this, and they cannot conceive, it is not possible for them to do this. But due to his bhakti and Krishna's grace, his activity was on the soul level, on the bodily level, this is impossible. He began to lament. What misfortune have fallen from the path of the self-realized. I gave up my real sons, wife, and home. So his illusion has now been vanquished. The result of his illusion, the deer's body, has made him understand. And even though deer's bodies look so cuddly with big eyes, they have fleas, they're afraid continuously. No, not pleasant. I gave up my real son, wife, and home to advance in spiritual life, and I took shelter in a solitary place in the forest. I became self-controlled and self-realized. I engaged constantly in devotional service, hearing, thinking, chanting, worshipping, and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. I was successful in my attempt, so much so that my mind was always absorbed in the devotional service. However, due to my personal foolishness, my mind again became attached, this time to a deer. Now I've obtained the body of a deer and have fallen far from my devotional practices. Although Bharat Maharaj received the body of a deer, by constant repentance, he became completely detached from all material things. So here is the medicine. He did not disclose these things to anyone, but he left his mother deer in a place known as Kalanjara Mountain. Do you know where this Kalanjara Mountain is? Have you heard of the name? No. Where he was born, he again went to the forest of Shalagram, to the ashram of Pulastya and Pulaha. Remaining in that ashram, the great King Bharata Maharaj was now very careful not to fall victim to bad association. What, without disclosing his past to anyone, he remained in that ashram and ate dry leaves only. He was not exactly alone, for he had the association of the Supersoul. He did not need any other companion. He was that realized. In this way, he waited for death in the body of a deer. Bathing in that holy place, he finally gave up that body. We'll read Prabhupada's purport. Holy places like Vrindavan, Haridwar, Prayag, and Jagannath Puri are especially meant for the execution of devotional service. Vrindavan specifically is the most exalted and preferred holy place for Vaishnava devotees of Lord Krishna who are aspiring to return back to Godhead, the Vaikuntha planets. There are many devotees in Vrindavan who regularly bathe in the Yamuna, and this cleanses all the contaminations of the material world. By constantly chanting and hearing the holy names and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, one certainly becomes purified and becomes a fit candidate for liberation. However, if one purposely falls down victim to sense gratification, and we saw how Bharat Maharaj, there was some conscious willingness in there, he has to be punished at least for one lifetime, like Bharat Maharaj. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of the Character of Bharat Maharaj. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
It's evident from Bharat Maharaj's example that even an elevated devotee may not be able to give 100% of his affection to Krishna. So let us say that someone is giving 1% of his affection. So what he should do is the balance of 99%.
He should give it to his pet deer. Obviously, he should try to increase his Krishna consciousness. So, but what to do if we're not on a perfectly spiritual level? What to do if we are in the material world with somewhat Krishna consciousness, but a desire to become a devotee? So what we have to learn how to do is take... First of all, we have to understand what perfection is. It's purity and it's focused. It's love and it's love for Krishna. Then we admit we're not on that platform. And then what we do is, under guidance, we engage our tendencies so that they don't bring us in the exact opposite direction from Krishna. They may not bring us exactly like that quickly, but they bring us like that. And they don't bring us in the exact opposite direction. So that's my answer to that. It's a practical question. Because we can't imitate. We can say, from now on, I'm not going to be attached to anything. And then as soon as we walk out of the door, within 5 minutes, we forget what the class was about, and we go on with our lives. We can't be more than we are. We want to take as much with us as we can. But we should engage whatever attachments we have in such a way so that they'll be pleasing to Krishna under guidance, and they won't take us in the exact opposite direction. So yat karosi yarashnasi, yat chahosi dadati yat, yat tapasyasi kautiya mat kurusvama. We should offer them. Yat tapravita bhutanam. And we should be careful.
Of course,
yes.
There was no attachment yet developed.
So it started with compassion. Now, if you were to rewrite this story so it had a happy ending in this life, could you do it in such a way that he didn't let the deer die? What do you think? Huh? Huh? Yeah, let him die. Who cares? That's hard too. It's very hard to do that. I mean, what I'm trying to say is he was very extreme. And to be completely cold also may be very extreme, but there are alternatives in between. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when my household of devotees come to the Dham, they don't give money and charity to the beggars because they don't want to become involved in karma. But if they don't give, they will become hard-hearted. Huh? That's not how I read it, but maybe it was a different incident, or maybe that was more complete. I read it from his notes originally too, I think. So, in other words, there's in between. Look how extreme he went. That's what I would say. Because a devotee generally acts in the mode of goodness, but the problem. So therefore, he may have save the deer. But then the problem with the mode of goodness is attachment develops. Whatever you do, even in goodness, you develop attachment. And then attachment is in which mode? Passion. And then ignorance comes. So that he went down the route, the whole route, with the whole train. So one should be cautious. Yeah, he explains that. So I pointed that out in the class, that we should be careful of getting involved in material, mundane welfare work. But it's a matter of the consciousness. It's a subtle point. But one person could do one thing, and another person could do the same thing in completely different consciousness. He was performing the sacrifice, but his consciousness was he was serving Krishna. In this case, he forgot Krishna. He could have done something as service to Krishna. Perhaps in that consciousness. I may have said this before. When I was in Perth, there was a moth. You know, a moth. Moth? 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 Moth, okay. There was a moth. I was in a very hot backyard building. It was a moth just flapping against the window, the glass window, and he couldn't get out. And compassionate Burijan said, "Ah, this moth, how could I watch it die in this way?" So with my gentle hands, I moved it to the door and it flew right outside. I could feel it tasting freedom with every flapping of its wings. And then a bird came and immediately caught it and ate it. It was amazing. Really, it's true. My sentiment was completely... Or with humans, right? We could see humans dying on the street and we could just walk by. Hey, it's your karma. I don't think I could do it. I could tell you that. It's natural. But one wants to do it as a servant. One time in Melbourne, the devotees were preparing for Rath Yatra, the Rath Yatra festival. And somehow or another, these Matajis were carrying this big canopy for Lord Jagannath. And of all times, there was a fire in a building nearby. Did you ever hear? Yeah. And the people got caught up on the floor of the house. And there was no way for them to get down. So the devotees, they took the, it's true, they took the canopy and they held it tightly, and the people jumped from the building, and they were saved by falling into that. And Prabhupada was there at that time. And he said it was great service. And there were newspaper articles too. No, it was before the Rath Yatra. Yeah, so there's a degree of common sense that has to balance out the theoretical truth. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There was a bug that got stuck, and Prabhupada said he's tired. He's weak. You should feed him. It was near Prabhupada. So. Yeah. And then Prabhupada was crying in Mayapur. There are people starving. Give them prasadam. There should be no one hungry within miles of the temple. But give them prasadam. We shouldn't be hard-hearted. I know that. But we shouldn't drown either. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bharat Maharaj ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.